Today our topic is entitled Pitfalls of Discouragement. Pitfalls of Discouragement. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, to Numbers, the 21st chapter of Numbers, in verse number 4 with me. The Word of God says this in Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I think all of us, if you've been saved for any period of time, have been discouraged, amen? And even the unsaved get discouraged. Well, I'm speaking primarily to Christians today, amen, those that have been born again. And I'm here to tell you that discouragement, my dear friend, discouragement is the devil's big stick. That's right. You see, when the devil can't put you out of commission with immorality, drunkenness, worldliness, or some other gross sin, he will destroy your influence for the Lord just as effectively by making you discouraged. My dear friend, I'm here to tell you that no one, that's right, no one is immune to discouragement. Discouragement is dangerous because it causes us to make mistakes. And when you are discouraged, you begin to make decisions with your emotions instead of based on the Word of God. I want us to look at some things on the pastor's study today as we look at the pitfalls of discouragement. Number one, discouragement distorts your prayers. Yes, my dear friend, discouragement distorts your prayers. See, discouragement will affect your prayer life. You start praying for the wrong thing. Let's look at a couple of examples of that in the Word of God. First, we want to look at Moses. Look with me in Numbers chapter 11, in the book of Numbers chapter 11, and look in verses 11 through 15 in Numbers 11 with me. And the Word of God says this, And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land, which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence shall I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Here's Moses, one of the greatest men of God who ever lived. He wasn't immune from discouragement. The burden of ruling and guiding and directing the people and listening to their complaints day in and day out, he got discouraged. He got to such a point of discouragement that he prayed that God would kill him, that God would take him home. Amen? That he would die. He wasn't immune. Moses, if Moses wasn't immune, do you think you and I are immune from discouragement? I think not. How about another man of God? Elijah. Look what Elijah prayed in 1 Kings with me, in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 19. And we have to remember in the prior chapter, 1 Kings 18, we see where Elijah, through God, had wrought a great victory, how he had defeated the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. Amen. The prophets of Baal were destroyed. And then we see immediately after this great victory, looking in 1 Kings chapter 19 with me, we want to look at verses 1 through 4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. See what happened? Was Ahab, the wicked king, told his wicked wife, Jezebel, what had happened to the prophets of Baal. And now we see that Jezebel puts out a death threat against Elijah and says that I'm going to do to Elijah what he did to the prophets of Baal. Here's a man, Elijah, a great man of God, had seen God work in a mighty way just a little while ago. And now all of a sudden he's full of fear and discouragement because his life has been threatened. And what does he do? Just like Moses, because his discouragement distorted his prayers. He started praying for the wrong thing. Instead of saying, it doesn't matter what Jezebel says, God will take care of me. Just like he took care of those prophets of Baal and he destroyed them, God will watch over me, take care of me, protect me. But no. He got discouraged, and he prayed for God to kill him. You see, Elijah, he went from victor to victim. He went from hero to zero. Beware, my dear friend. You are most vulnerable to discouragement after a victory. See that? Because he wasn't expecting this, Elijah. He had just had this great victory, and it was the mountaintop experience, amen, of his walk with God. And then bingo. Amen. This threat by Jezebel. So we need to beware that you and I are most vulnerable to discouragement after a victory. Because we have this sense of security. This is it. We're arrived. Everything's going to go like this. Our experiences are going to be all mountaintop experiences. But my dear friends, it's not that way. Oftentimes, we spend more time in the valley than we do on the mountain. But you know what you and I need to remember? We must remember that he that is a God of the mountain when we're on the mountain is also God of the valley when we're in the valley. So number one, we see that discouragement distorts your prayers. Number two, discouragement deceives your perception. Looking in Numbers chapter 21 with me, and we want to look at verse 5. Numbers 21, verse 5. We remember in verse 4 of Numbers 21 that we just read a moment ago how the people were much discouraged because of the way. And then in verse 5 it says, And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. You see, discouragement deceives your perception of things. You see here with the children of Israel, they were discouraged, and they began to think the wrong thing. And what happens when we get discouraged? Our eyes are turned inward on self instead of upward on God. You know, that's what discouragement, which leads to depression, amen. Depression is an inward disease because we're focusing on ourselves inwardly instead of focusing outwardly on God. What happens? Discouragement deceives your perception. You begin to evaluate circumstances in terms of ability of self. So you're just looking at the circumstance and saying, can I handle it? Do I have the ability to handle this in my own power, instead of looking outward to God and upward to God? We must remember that self is never adequate for the situation. Therefore, you get discouraged. See, in our own power and strength, we can't handle the situation, and then we become discouraged. We have limits, but God doesn't have limits. We see here in Numbers 21, verse 5, the thought that God is out to hurt us. That's what Israel thought, that God was out to hurt them. As a result, they began questioning God's leader, Moses. And then not only that, they began questioning God's timing. In fact, we saw that with Mary and Martha at the death of their brother Lazarus. You know, they questioned the timing. You know, if you had only been here, amen. Look at in John chapter 11 with me. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, which is a chapter that we find the death of Lazarus, and then, of course, Jesus raising him from the dead. But in John chapter 11, look at in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. See, we see Martha questioning God's timing, saying, only Jesus, if you had only been here, he would be alive today. In other words, saying, your timing was off, Lord. You should have been here. Amen. Then we see in verse 32, Mary, Martha's sister, and they're both sisters of Lazarus, the deceased. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Again, she's questioning God's timing. She's discouraged. Her brother is dead. Discouragement deceived her perception and her sister Martha's perception, amen. They questioned God, only if you had been here. Question God's timing, amen. And of course, you and I know that God's timing is always right. Even though it's not, we expect God to do something at a certain time, he doesn't do it, amen. If he did in our time, things would end up messed up, amen. But his timing, his schedule is always right. You know, and even sometimes when you get discouraged, it deceives your perception. You sometimes think it would be better if you were not born. You know, Job got discouraged. Look at what he said in Job chapter 3. In Job chapter 3, we read in verses 1, 2, 3, Job chapter 3 with me. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day, and Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. He got discouraged. As a result, it deceived his perceptions. And he began thinking, amen, that it would have been better if he was never born. Then we also see, as we talk about discouragement deceives our perception, we have as a result of discouragement, thoughts of doubt. Thoughts of doubt. Look in Matthew chapter 11 with me. Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, we want to look at verses 2 through 3. Matthew 11, 2 through 3. It says, now, when John had heard in prison, and of course that's John the Baptist, he was imprisoned, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? See, he was in prison. He was discouraged. Discouragement deceives our perception, and he started doubting who Christ was, even though he had heard what Christ had done. He began to have thoughts of doubts. Amen? And that's what discouragement will do. It'll deceive your perception and my perception. Amen? Number three, we want to see discouragement. Discouragement distracts your performance. In other words, you start doing the wrong thing. We have a great example again in Moses, if we go return to the book of Numbers, in verse number 20. Look what it says. Numbers 20, beginning in verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I had given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was not sanctified in them. We see, as a result of Moses getting discouraged because of the people and their complaining, it distracted his performance. God told him just to speak to the rock, but out of anger, out of discouragement, out of frustration, he hit the rock, amen. And as a result of that, disobeying God, he and Aaron did not get to go into the promised land, to take the people into the promised land. Discouragement distracts your performance. We saw another case in point. Elijah ran for his life because he was discouraged, and it distracted his performance. Instead of remembering the great victory at Mount Carmel, he ran for his life. He became discouraged. Discouragement, you know what it'll do? Discouragement? Discouragement will make you want to quit. That's right. It'll make you want to quit. Once you faint, you lose the heart. Amen? You lose the heart and will to fight, to keep on. And you'll no longer believe that victory is possible. That's what discouragement will do. It'll distract your performance and my performance. Amen? Last thing we want to see about discouragement. Discouragement detours your pathway. What happens is you start going the wrong way and end up in the wrong place. Case in point, Jonah headed for Tarshish. Amen? Instead of Nineveh, like the Lord had told him to. What happened? He started going in the wrong direction. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. And what happened? As a result of going the wrong way, he ended up in the wrong place. He ended up in the whale's belly. Why? Because discouragement detoured his pathway. Same thing with Elijah. He ended up under a juniper tree, praying for God to take his life. He ran the wrong way. Why? Because discouragement detours your pathway and my pathway. Some end up, amen, in a tavern, amen, in a bar room, in a cocktail lounge. They go to the wrong place. They're discouraged. They're depressed. Amen. They go to the wrong place. Amen. They go the wrong way and they end up in the wrong place. Instead of going to God and seeking the face of God for the solution to your problems, many will end up in the bar room Amen. In the cocktail lounge. Amen. Some will end up in the wrong church because they're discouraged. Amen. Because they've been treated unkindly in one church. Amen. And they're looking for love and compassion. Amen. And they may find that in another church, but that other church may be teaching heresy. See? You'll end up going the wrong way and end up in the wrong place as a result. Amen. And some end up in a wrong marriage. Amen. They marry the wrong person because of discouragement. Discouragement detours your pathway. You start going the wrong way and end up in the wrong place. It's a spiritual battle. The devil has many weapons in his arsenal, and they're all spiritual in nature, and the battle takes place where? The battleground is between your ears and my ears, the mind. Amen. That's where the real battle takes place. You know, no bullets have to be fired. Amen. No grenades thrown. No big guns fired, no. All he has to take is that fiery dart, that dart of discouragement, that stick of discouragement. He'll take it and beat us over the head with it. If we let him now, see? The battlefield's in the mind. You don't have to allow him to do it. You can keep him out. You can keep him from using discouragement, amen, to distort your prayers. You can fight against discouragement to deceive your perception, amen. You don't have to allow it to happen. You can fight against discouragement. The devil uses that big stick to distract you from your performance, from doing what you should be doing and not do the wrong thing. And you can fight against allowing discouragement to detour your pathway. In other words, going in the wrong way and ending up in the wrong place. Amen. Because it's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. Amen. It's a spiritual battle. And the devil uses that discouragement. And he keeps using it, keeps using it, and keeps using it. But we can fight against it. We have the Word of God. You know, Jesus said to be of good cheer. He said, you know, there would be tribulation, would it not? But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Amen. The victory has already been won. But boy, do we allow the devil. That's right, that old devil, Satan, to use the spiritual weapon of discouragement as a stick to beat us over the head, to get us down and depressed and feel like we want to quit and throw in the towel and give up, amen? But we don't have to allow it to happen, amen? We need to remember what the Apostle Paul said. And sometimes when we get discouraged, we have to remember some great men of God got discouraged, amen? Moses, Elijah, amen, Jonah. And they lost out on some blessings. But despite that, God still used them. There's still hope for you and I. I like what the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse, verse 58, he says, actually, 57 and 58. Let me look at those together. He says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should thank God, amen. Not get discouraged. Thank God that we have the victory through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, as a result of that, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be ye steadfast, not discouraged. He says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, amen. We should be like the rock of Gibraltar, unmovable in the faith, he said. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Discouragement. Don't be discouraged. Thank God that we've got the victory through Jesus Christ. And be unmovable, steadfast. Amen. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And remember that whatever we do, you and I do for the Lord, it's not in vain. Amen. I want to close with this, which comes from leader Kurtzer, the Zion's Fire, March, April 1992 edition. And it says this: I refuse to be discouraged, to be sad, or cease to try. I refuse to be downhearted, and here's the reason why. I have a God who's mighty, who's sovereign and supreme. I have a God who loves me. I know I'm on his team. He is all-wise and powerful. Jehovah is his name. Though everything is changeable, my God remains the same. My God knows all that's happening, beginning to the end. His presence is my comfort. He's my dearest friend. When sickness comes to weaken me, to bring my head down low, I call upon my mighty God, into his arms I go. When circumstances threaten to rob me of my peace, he draws me close unto his breast, and all my striving cease. When my heart melts within me, and weakness takes control, he gathers me into his arms, he soothes my heart and soul. The great I am is with me. My life is in his hand. The God of Jacob is my hope. It's in his strength I stand. I refuse to be defeated. My eyes are on my God. He has promised to be with me as through this life I trod. I'm looking past all circumstances to heaven's throne above. My prayers touch the heart of God. I'm resting in his love. I give God thanks in everything. My eyes are on his face. The battle's his. The victory mine. He'll help me win the race. Well, my dear friend, this is all the time we have for the pastor study, but I'm just so very grateful to God for all of you who faithfully listen to this program. And until we meet again on the pastor study, my prayer is that God will richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.